Indeed we have, fair sister.
Oh, Corin, Corin, how could you? And thou and I such close friends ever since thy mother died. And what should I have said to thy royal father if I came home without thee? Would have been a cause almost of war between Arkenland and Narnia, which are friends time out of mind. It was naught, playmate, very naught of thee to use us so. Where hast thou been, Corin?
I don't know.
There it is, Susan. I could get no tale out of him, true or false.
Oh, your majesties, Queen Susan, King Edmund.
When Shasta turned to look at the speaker who'd just called out, he nearly jumped out of his skin with surprise. The creature was about the same height as Shasta himself. From the waist upwards he was like a man, but his legs were hairy, like a goat's, and shaped like a goat's, and he had goat's hooves and a tail. His skin was rather red, and he had curly hair and a short pointed beard and two little horns. He was, in fact, a fawn, which is a creature Shasta had never seen a picture of or even heard of.
Your Majesties, his little highness has had a touch of the sun. Well, look at him. He's dazed. He doesn't know where he is.
Of course.
Oh, do forgive us, dear Corin. Come. Sit down on these cushions.
Perdon, bring him a cold drink.
Yes, Your Highness.
Lie still and keep very quiet now. There. There, that's much better.
This is a curious business, and I can only wonder if it is in some way connected to our purpose here.
How could it?
I cannot say.
A drink for the Prince.
Here, Corin. Drink slowly.
Thank you.
Good.
So, what think you, madam? We have been in this city fully 3 weeks. Have you yet settled in your mind whether you will marry this suitor of yours, this Prince Rabadash, or no?
No, brother. Not for all the jewels in Tashbarn.
Truly, sister, I should have loved you the less if you had taken him. And I tell you, that at the first coming of Tisrock's ambassadors into Narnia to speak of this marriage, and later, when the prince was our guest at Caer Paravel, it was a wonder to me that ever you could find it in your heart to show him so much favour.
That was my folly, Edmund, of which I cry you mercy. Yet, when he was with us in Narnia, truly this prince bore himself in a different fashion than he does now in Tashbarn. For I take you all to witness what marvellous feats he did in that great tournament, and how meekly and courteously he consorted with us the space of 7 days. Yeah. But here, in his own city, he has shown another face.
Yes. It's an old saying, see the bear in his own den before you judge of his conditions.
Yes. We have now seen him for what he is, a most proud, bloody, luxurious, cruel, and self-pleasing tyrant.
Then in the name of Aslan, let us leave Tashbarn this very day.
There's the rub, sister. For now, I must open to you all that has been growing in my mind these last 2 days and more. Peridon, of your courtesy, look to the door and see that there is no spy upon us.
Yes, Your Highness. All is well.
We must be secret. Salopad, draw near. I have need of your counsel.
This was another surprise for Shasta. A large raven, which had been sitting by the window, suddenly leapt from its place and, moving towards the others, said,
Yes, Your Highness.
Edmund, what is it? There is something dreadful in your face.
My dear sister and very good lady, you must now show your courage. For I tell you plainly, we are in no small danger.
What is it, Edmund?
It is this. I do not think we shall find it easy to leave Tashbarn. While the prince had hoped that you would take him, we were honored guests. But, by the lion's mane, I think that as soon as he has your flat denial, we shall be no better than prisoners.
I warned, Your Majesties, I warned you. Easily in, but not easily out, as the lobster said in the lobster pot.
I have been with the prince this morning. He is little used to having his will crossed, and he is very chafed at your long delays and doubtful answers. This morning, he pressed very hard to know your mind. I put it aside, meaning at the same time to diminish his hopes with some light common jests about women's fancies, and hinted this suit was likely to be cold. He grew angry and dangerous. There was a sort of threatening, though still veiled under a show of courtesy, in every word he spoke.
Yes, and when I supped with the Grand Vizier last night, it was the same. He asked me how I liked Tashban, and I couldn't tell him I hated every stone of it, and wouldn't lie, I told him that now, when high summer was coming on, my heart turned to the cool woods and dewy slopes of Narnia. He gave a smile that meant no good, and he said, "There's nothing to hinder you from dancing there again, little goatfoot. Always provided you leave us in exchange a bride for our prince."
Do you mean he would make me his wife by force?
That's my fear, Susan. Wife or slave, which is worse?
But how can he? Does the Tisrock think our brother, the High King, would suffer such an outrage?
Sire, they would not be so mad. Do they think there are no swords and spears in Narnia?
Alas, my guess is that the Tisrock has very small fear of Narnia. We are a little land. He longs to blot us out, gobble us up.
Oh.
When first he suffered the prince to come to Caer Paravel as your suitor, sister, It may be that he was only seeking an occasion against us. Most likely, he hopes to make one mouthful of Narnia and Arkenland both.
Let him try. At sea, we are as big as he is. And if he assaults us by land, he has the desert to cross.
True, friend. But is the desert a sure defense?
I know the desert well, for I have flown above it far and wide in my younger days.
Oh.
And this is certain. If the Tisrock goes by the great oasis, he can never lead a great army across it into Arkenland. But there is another way.
Huh?
Starting from the tombs of the ancient kings and riding northwest, so that the double peak of Mount Fire is always straight ahead. And so, in a day's riding or a little more, a traveller shall come to the head of a stony valley, which is so narrow that a man might be within a furlong of it 1,000 times and never know it was there. And looking down this valley, he will see neither grass, nor water, nor anything else good. But if he rides on down it, he will come to a river and can ride by the water all the way to Arkenland.
Do the Calormans know of this western way?
Friends, what is the use of all this discourse? We are not asking whether Narnia or Calorman would win if war arose between them. We are asking how to save the honour of the Queen and our own lives out of this devilish city.
Oh.
For though our brother Peter the High King might defeat the Tisrock 12 times over, yet long before that day our throats would be cut and Queen Susan would be the wife, or more likely, the slave of this prince.
We have our weapons, King, and this is a reasonably defensible house.
I do not doubt that every one of us would sell our lives dearly for the Queen.
Yes.
But we should be merely rats fighting in a trap when all's said.
I am the cause of all this. If only I had never left Caer Paravel.
Courage, Sue. Courage. Remember... What is the matter with you, Mr. Tumnus?
No, don't speak to me. Don't speak. I'm thinking. Oh, I'm thinking so hard I can hardly breathe. Wait. No, do wait. The only difficulty is how to get down to our ship, with some stores too, without being seen and stopped.
Yes. Just as the beggar's only difficulty about riding is that he has no horse.
Wait. You see, all we need is some pretext for going down to our ship today and taking stuff on board. Yes? Well then, now, how would it be if your majesties invited the prince to a great banquet to be held on board our own galleon tomorrow night? And let the message be worded as graciously as the queen can contrive without pledging her honour, so as to give the prince a hope that she is weakening.
That is very good counsel, sire.
You see, then everyone will expect us to be going down to the ship all day, making preparations for our guests. And let some of us go to the bazaars and spend every minim we have at the fruiterers and the sweetmeat sellers and the wine merchants, just as we would if we were really given a feast. And let us order magicians and jugglers and dancing girls and flute players, all to be on board tomorrow night.
I see, I see.
And then we'll all be on board tonight. And as soon as it's quite dark,
up sails and out oars.
And our nose northward.
Yes.
Oh, Master Tumnus, you have saved us all.
Oh, though the prince will chase us.
That's the least of my fears. I have seen all the shipping in the river, and there's no tall ship of war nor swift galley there. I wish he may chase us, for our beautiful splendour Hyaline could sink anything he has to send after her, if we were overtaken at all.
Sire, you shall hear no better plot than the Fawns, though we sat in council for 7 days.
Ooh.
And now, as we birds say, nests before eggs, which is as much as to say, let us take our food and then at once be about our business.
To the dining room, then.
Oh.
My lady says
oh, lie there, your highness, and I'll bring you up a little feast in a few moments. There's no need for you to move until we're all ready to embark.
Thank you. This is perfectly dreadful. What am I going to do? I simply daren't tell them I'm not Prince Corrin now. I've heard all their plans. If they knew I wasn't one of them, they'd never let me out of this house alive. They'd be afraid I'd betray them to the Disrock. Kill me. And if the real Corrin did, it'll all come out. And they will. Oh,